I want to talk today about nine strengths of a man. Nine strengths. It's not the only ones, but these nine are very special. They become the very core to be a great father. These strengths are not automatically yours. They're something that you grow, that you tend to, that you look after. We live in a world where a lot of people, when they have problems and with kids, homes, family, our prayers are usually, God, I need a miracle. But often, we need to pray and say, God, guide me. Did I do anything wrong? Is there anything I should start doing? Is there anything I should stop doing? Is there anything I'm believing that I need to stop believing? Is there anything going on I need to tend to? We tend to just think every time there's a problem, you just pray for God to do a miracle. But we need to be very open. Pride, the reason it destroys us is because we think we've arrived. And humility is the ability to say, I want to change in any and every area that I should change. And Holy Spirit's job is to guide you into all truth. These nine strengths, as you develop them in your life, you will find a lot less need for miracles. In fact, you will walk through your life in such a way that people will be amazed because they'll see these strengths and they'll wonder where you got them from. As you develop these strengths, they begin to minister to you in a very special way because they're not something that you're trying to do. They are something that is within you and growing from you. Life's hard. Life's got stuff. In your life, someone will probably betray you, backstab you. There are lots of mean, wicked people out there. Just read the news. People you trust will turn on you, and people can go through some really hard times when they're betrayed or when things go on that you've got to walk through. But God's made you. And he's designed you to be stronger. He's made you and designed you to be better. One of the prophets in the Old Testament, the verses of him says that the people he's going to, their heads are like flint. In other words, their faces are meat. And he said, but I've made yours harder. I've made yours stronger. And I want you to know that these strengths, every one of us here has them. We just need to develop them. And when you develop them, something incredible takes place in your relationships. As a father, it's incredible what it does to your kids. When you get married to the person you got married to, you're not caring for them. If it's a healthy, mature relationship, you are caring of them, but you're not to become this codependent caretaker and They're an adult. They can look after themselves. They choose you. But when children come into your world, it's a completely different kind of relationship. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, for though you may have 10,000 teachers, guardians, tutors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I want to encourage every man here, whether you're married or not, kids or not, that these are the nine strengths we need to develop in our lives. And if you're a single girl here, don't be swayed by the broad shoulders, the quiet, silent type that stands across the room. Hey. We have a funny look at what manhood is. Manhood isn't the breadth of your shoulders. Manhood isn't how many guys you can take in a fight. Manhood isn't all these things that we've celebrated because it's what goes on the inside. The first one I want to share with you, it is a strength. It is something that we must receive and give, is love. Now, love is a word that is used so freely. But as Zachary said, love means to value. When a man gets his value from God, he becomes a very stable person. When a man gets his love or his value from anything else, he is at the mercy of the source of his value. If it's work, work will destroy his life. If he gets his value from his looks, his midlife crises will be off the planet, off the charts. Where do you get your value from? This is such a stabilizing factor, and all of us get our value from wrong things. So when you give your life to Christ, you must get your value from the fact that God loves you, that God cares for you. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, we all know the story of how the presence of God descended upon him, Holy Spirit did, and a voice came out, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't done anything yet. Hadn't done a miracle. Not one. He just came on the scene. That's it. We've got to remember that you don't have to earn God's love. You just need to know that he values you so much, and trust that, believe that, confess that, say that every morning, that I am valuable, I'm significant, because God loves me. God values me. And then you must show that love. Listen to me, guys. It is not enough for you to say to somebody, "Well, I'm a lover. I love on the inside." No, love that is not shown is not felt. How do we show love? How do we show love to our spouse? Show love to God? How do we show love to our children? We must get good. And there are different languages to love and how to show it. We must get good at them all. I'm amazed how many men can be stunning in their field of expertise. I'm amazed how many men are brilliant when they graduate with all sorts of doctorates. I'm amazed how many men can have wealth flowing in from and run multiple businesses, yet I've seen all those kinds of men can't get a relationship to work. If you ask me what's an important area for kids, well, I would tell you that it's crucial that they know Christ and that they have these strengths, because these strengths are what make relationships work. Make all the money, rise to the top, do it by yourself without your wife and your kids, because they'll just have left you. No friendships, because you don't have any strength to make friendships work. Oh, I meet a ton of men like that. I don't even have a percentage, but women seem to be naturally good at opening up and having relationships. Everywhere I go, from the old folks' homes to the universities to coffee shops to planes, you'll see men alone all the time. We need to learn to show this love. Our kids need it. How do we show love to them? The second thing I want to talk about is joy. Joy is a phenomenal strength. And most of us think, well, I just don't got it, so how can I show it? No, you're talking about happiness. That's different. Happiness comes from things that happen in your life. Things are happening, so I'm happy. But joy is different. Joy is a strength that grows. Each of the strengths that I'm going to show you continue to grow. They are not strengths that can just be removed. They continue to grow. They are foundational. They are impossible to stop because they grow from the presence of God, which is in your human spirit. And these strengths are what God has. Every one of the strengths that I'm going to go through are strengths God has, and he is this way, and so you and I can be this way. But a child needs to know they bring joy. If you just correct them all the time and they can't bring joy and happiness, they need to know, "You bring so much joy to my life. I'm so proud to be your dad. You're awesome. You rock." Well, I know they made a mess. Yes, I know their boots aren't on the rack. Is that the first thing you're going to deal with? A child needs to know they bring joy. There needs to be a positive attitude in us as men, that whatever we deal with, whatever's going on, that child just sees this, we will make it through. things are going to work out. This joy is something way more powerful than just happiness. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Where there is joy in homes, you will have less sickness. Where there is joy in someone recovering from surgery or disease, it's proven that their body works better. Their cells begin to generate. Their body begins to work at an amazing rate when there is joy there. Laugh lots. Play jokes. Be passionate. Joy is not something, well, I just don't got it today, Leon. You want me to fake it? You see, you don't understand. You've got it. You just don't feel like pushing yourself. Passion's not something you just have. I am not passionate every time I get up here to preach. Maybe you can tell sometimes. I hope not. But when I learned years ago that passion is something I can throw the switch on. If we're going to go and play a flag football game after church and a bunch of guys hit the field and you say, well, I can't play with passion today, Leon. It's just not in me today. Oh, baloney, you know that you can get going, start running, start hitting, start grabbing, and this passion just is, it gets everywhere. This joy is this passion. It's this life. It's this merry heart. It is something that you don't have to fake, because when you spend time in God's word, this begins to grow on the inside of you. And then you must show it. There is nothing wrong with laughing and joking around and being happy. This, it's a little bit overrated, this cool look. Hey. Cool, man. Yeah, good on you. Good to see you again. Like, don't marry that. That's what he'll treat you like in a few years. Find someone that knows how to laugh, love, fool around, play practical jokes, got a big old smile on their face, and wants to attack life and go, yee-haw! That's who you want in your life. The next strength is called peace, but not the peace that you know. Jesus said, there is a peace the world has that when your problems are solved, you can have peace from the lack of problems. But there is a peace that will grow from the inside of you, that in the midst of all the problems, you are at peace. Now, this world does not know this peace, which is why sickness is rampant today. This word peace is very close to the Hebrew word shalom in the Old Testament, that if you do not have peace, you cannot have health. Without this peace, you can't have a healthy mind, you can't have healthy emotions, your body won't be healthy. 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. The soul is your thinking, your emotions. Only peace will keep you healthy. And where you let peace go, stress begins to come in. And this stress begins to cause sickness. It begins to cause all of the chemical reactions to go wrong. You won't heal up. You'll begin to get sick. And you can live in sickness until you go back to finding peace. This peace that heals, this peace that keeps the mind strong when there's more than one problem. Ever notice they tend to come in threes half the time? If I could just have one problem, that'd be pretty good. But I got this one, and this one. Welcome to life. But the peace that Jesus brings is so strong that when others are freaking out, when others are running around like Chicken Little, he's going, it's going to be cool. And you go on about your day, laughing, loving, with a peace. This peace is so incredible that it's transferable. The Bible says when you walk into someone's house, if you don't want to sit in a house full of, speak, peace be on this house. When I would go into work, I'd always say, peace be on this office, in Jesus' name. And the Bible says if it's not your house and it's a friend's house and they don't want your peace will actually return to you. So there's actually this force that comes off of you that radiates everywhere you go. I refuse to let go of my peace. I'll tell you a funny story. I'm on a plane landing in a city. No, I'm sorry, I'm taking off. I think it was Regina, it was a city in Saskatchewan. We're taking off, and at the very last minute, without any warning, this thing hits the brakes. For the pilots that are, however you do that, if you reverse the engines and lock up the wheels or what, but everybody's head went straight into the back of the seat as the roar of this pain just, and you could hear screams in the plane. You could hear people crying, groaning. I had a guy, there was no one in the middle and a guy against the window. And as this thing is going, I'm just sitting there like this and hey, this thing is concerning me. But this guy is in the fetal position and he's sobbing because it goes on and it feels like we're going to crash. We're all going to die is the feeling that all this screaming and voicing in the plane, and it finally comes to a stop. And it was that quiet. And this guy, he's kind of embarrassed. He looks up at me like this. We almost died. I said, no, we're fine. What do you mean we're fine? And I couldn't help it, guys. I just said, I'm on the plane. We're fine. He looks at me. He goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? And he actually was a backslidden believer who had once had a faith in God. And long story short, they had to get buses because the plane was jammed. But what happened was a light came on at the last minute. The pilot had to make a choice. Do I abort? Do I take off? And of course you do. At a certain point, there is no aborting takeoff. Are you going to go off the end of the runway? So he aborted, apparently made the right choice because he said, I talked to the pilot himself, if we'd have landed with the problem we had, he said it could have been really bad. So they took a couple of hours, get another plane ready. We're all on the plane with the exact same seat assignment. Hi. And I had a couple of hours to share to him Christ in a non-religious way and the peace that he brings. Even if I did go to heaven, I can be at peace because it's better than even being down here. There's a peace that is powerful. This peace brings harmony in the family, brings harmony between people. It's a state of peace. It's not you trying to be peaceful. No, it just comes out of you naturally. This peace. You don't want a house raging with war and personality problems and fighting, because there'll be no peace. Where there is peace, there is health, there is blessing. The next one is long-suffering. This is a strength, a force that needs to be in our lives. If every little thing makes you get, oh, great, or you're cussing about this, upset about that, your kids will live in a place of never knowing peace because you have not developed this long-suffering, this ability to control your temper when things aren't going well. Sometimes problems take time to work out. Sometimes a condition that you're dealing with might be there for months or years. And so you have to learn that your temper needs to be long and enduring. The storms of life, they can be handled. And at times, you just strong, long suffering. That isn't a negative thing saying it's never going to change. No. If you've got a baby that is not sleeping through the night and it's really bugging you, hey, suck it up, big boy. It might be a few months of this. And if you're going to have a few more kids, it might be a few years. So maybe you can figure out a way to help. This long suffering is powerful. This long suffering is when you're going through storms. It doesn't faze you. When the kids look at their daddy and they're wondering like, Daddy, are we going to be okay? When you have a true, this patient long suffering, it's real. And they'll just pick it up. And they'll just be like you. God's going to be seeing us through. When the smoke clears, I'll still be standing. They need to sense that on us, this long suffering. Then I want to talk about kindness. Now, this kindness, when you get into the Greek word, it actually means you're kind and you're always helping. You're a blessing to be around. You just roll your sleeves up and just pitch right in. You're useful around the home. You're useful with the family. There's just an excellent demeanor about you. Hey, guys, we're not too macho to roll up our sleeves and pick up a baby or change its bum or help with the dishes. It's like, I just bring home the bacon, dear. That's nothing else. Those little rug rats are yours. That's not going to work. Because children need a dad that is full hands-on. It's kind of interesting. They hit certain ages where they kind of want mom more. They hit certain ages where they kind of want dad more. And it's, I want dad to change my mom. Not you, mom. I mean, the kids love this fact. And this kindness needs to be shown. Otherwise, we begin to almost pull back. Be kind. Show that kindness. Then it uses the word in the Bible, goodness. Now, it's a little bit different. Goodness is this upright heart. Goodness is honor, integrity. They need to know that dad, his word is good. They need to know that there's a respect for him because he does business with honor. He treats mom with honor. There's integrity with him. This goodness is powerful at raising our kids up in this atmosphere. And it does amazing things for you. When you develop these strengths that I'm talking about, you know, but temptation just comes way down because these strengths give you an ability to walk through temptation without even thinking about it. It's the strengths that Holy Spirit on the inside of you is causing to grow within you. Then faithfulness. This strength of faithfulness is from the root word faith. And it literally means a faith in Jesus Christ. It is a conviction that there's a heaven. The Bible is right. This is not just a faithful as in don't cheat. This faithfulness is more so a word that is tied to Christ, the gospel, to God's word. And this faith is powerful. This faith needs to radiate off us. A dad asked me one time, he said, you know, I just can't get my kids to go to church. So I was very nice, but I said, you know, kids usually pick up the same passions of their dad. So do you go to church with passion? Do you worship with passion? Do you give with passion? Do you volunteer with passion? When you go home for lunch on Sunday, do you have roast pastor? And do your kids hear you knock what you didn't like, what you thought didn't work, and what's going on? Because these little eyes, they just pick it up. And a whole generation will walk away from church. Why is church important? Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't stop it. This faith-focused faithfulness to God, faithfulness to His Word, faithfulness to His church, faithfulness to His cause, it was anchors us. Don't pursue happiness. Pursue being responsible. Pursue the duty that you need to go to. You don't just pursue happiness. Words we don't use very often is this response. I've got a responsibility. Well, what's my responsibility, Pastor? You know what? Jesus said, if you're walking down the road and the Samaritan's laying on the side, or the man's laying on the side of the road, be the good Samaritan. In other words, you are reaching out. You feel a responsibility to help those around you, even if you could just make their life a little bit better. Even if you're standing in a line with a person who's everyone's groaning at because it's, and just to encourage them. Your life, everywhere you go, there should be a responsibility to let Jesus shine through you in every situation. There should be a responsibility, a duty that everywhere you go, people should see Jesus in you and how you handle things, how you do things so that we represent Him properly. This issue of duty and responsibility is what so many men are missing as they pursue their career, thinking about themselves and how much happiness they want, etc. Get plugged into your local church. Don't just come and go, treat it like Walmart or Dairy Queen. Come in and make it's something that you center your lives around. We're going to volunteer. We're going to go to Bible college one night. Our kids, the church of Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. And you can't just treat the church like you are a consumer. The consumer mentality. I'll just come in, feed me the word, look after my kids, park my car, clean those lots, make sure the seat's comfortable, give me a good sight line. And as far as giving, volunteering, I don't feel like it. That stop being a taker. Be responsible. Take some duty. Look at things and go, I need to be a blessing. I need to put in help. Gentleness. Gentleness is an amazing thing. You know, when I first looked at some of these nine, I thought, oh, jeepers, that's so puny. But gentleness is from the word used for being meek. And it means power under control. I often refer to a couple of leadership things I did in Virginia Beach, where a number of Navy SEALs came out and attended the leadership conference. The man that drove me was my driver back and forth during the conference. Things was actually the guy that headed up SEAL Team 6, for anyone who's all into that kind of stuff. So I had an interesting time, and I met about 15 of them, took me for lunch, and we just started sitting around talking. And they loved the teaching on leadership, and we got talking about that, and I started asking them questions. And you could see that these weren't these macho guys with big old, you know, trying to look like they're the man. They're actually, they look like somebody's husband from just down the street. Yet you know there's no greater killing machine trained on the planet than the guy I'm looking at across the table. But there was a gentleness and a kindness, an enjoyment of relationship, hanging out together. See, gentleness, guys, is when, yes, we can put our fist through a wall, put our fist through 10 walls. But that's not power under control. That's power out of control. Nobody respects power out of control, but we respect power under control. And so this gentleness, it's got to be in our lives. It's got to manifest itself around our families, our home. Every kid knows my daddy's tougher than you. My daddy can lift 4 chairs at one time. I saw my daddy do push-ups with mom on his. They'll brag about how tough you are. But they need to see this power under control. It can't be out of control. You don't impress kids because you put your fist through a wall. You don't impress kids because you can do something. No, under control. And the last one is self-control. Self-control is uniquely different. It's about you mastering your passions. It's about you mastering your desires so that you are a man under control. Yes, temptations will come. Things will happen. But these 9 strengths are given to us in Ephesians chapter 5. And it says there that they grow in our lives like fruit, meaning they can start where there's almost nothing there. But that as you begin to believe, you see, God's word works where you add faith. I'm going to encourage you men to take Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and on, where it lists the 9 strengths that calls them fruits, but the word fruit is showing you how it grows. It's just a little bud at the moment. Then all of a sudden it begins to grow greater and greater. And for the rest of your life, if these strengths grow in your life, you become an attractive force to business, an attractive force to friendships, an attractive force to your kids. Everywhere you go, the world is missing leadership. Everything's being managed, everything's being administrated, but leaders that have these core strengths that can get up and take this company somewhere, take this family somewhere. And so I would write all 9 down. And if you can do this, because a lot of people can't, be honest with yourself and grade yourself. I'm going to write these 9 down the left of the page. Where am I at showing love? Do people around me, my kids, my wife, do they feel valuable because of me? Score yourself. Go to the next one and say, how joyful am I? Do I come home and does the whole house just light up? Or is it, oh, Dad's home? Do I bring a laughter, a joy? Go through each one of them and put that little definition down that we gave. This message will be on YouTube. You know, it's probably there now. It'll be there shortly. Just write them down and the definitions. And then what you get to do is none of us have these all worked out. We're all working on them, and we should be working on them the rest of our lives. But I want a love develop so strong in me that everyone that gets around me, it feels valuable. They feel valued when they get around me. I want a joy, not a giddy, jokey, tee-hee-hee thing, but a joy that is a passion that just inspires people that they feel good. And I got to work at that. Take each of these 9, grade yourself. Each day, say, Holy Spirit, you're here to lead me into all truth. These fruits are something that are developing in me. And when you become conscious of them, you literally, because you're conscious of it, you can work on it. And you can develop that strength. Now, maybe the issue of long-suffering is a big one for you. My temper just flares. Ah, just like that. Oh, Pastor, I'm trying to shut it down. I lose control so fast, and then I say something. Okay, now that you know it, ask Holy Spirit to help you. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your temper. Ah! And then you're, oh, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, Daddy's sorry. Shouldn't have done that. Then, as in a couple days go by, you'll catch yourself in the middle. And then, just as you start to go and you want to say things, do things, hump through it, it'll catch you at the beginning, and you're beginning to develop this strength. Keep going. Believe God that these are the strengths. You'll need to pray for a whole lot less miracles because you won't walk into a whole lot of more messes. Your mouth won't lead you into a whole bunch of places that the power of God's got to try to get you out of, because these nine strengths will be there. And they are, men, they're powerful. To you single guys, let this be what you grow on the inside of you. And if the woman you're dating doesn't respect those, find another one. Because these are the strengths that will give you longevity, that will make marriage strong and healthy for decades to come, that children will grow up underneath and walk into a world that you say, well, I'm just so scared to raise kids in this world. I'm loosing my kids on this world, and look out world, because here they come, because they know who they are in Christ. It's a different mindset. We are the church. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And you know, I got to tell you, I have the honor of getting to a lot of places around this world, teaching at conferences, churches, secular conferences, and I have met the most amazing men in this church. I know the stories of some of them and what they've come from. I've watched them raise their kids over the last how many decades, and I got to tell you, I am so honored to be your pastor. So honored that we're growing together. I don't preach because I've arrived. I just preach at you what I'm dealing with me on. So we can all grow together. But we'd like to pray over every man in the house, not just fathers, every man in the house. We're going to pray over you right now. I'm going to ask if you would just stand to your feet all across the auditorium. You were created strong. You were designed to win. You're made in the image of God. The world wants to stuff it out of you. The world wants to beat it. The world wants you to give up on the inside. And I just want to challenge you today that if we're going to change this nation, if you want your family to go on for generations, then we have to raise kids that see these strengths, develop these strengths like us, and then generations of your family just keep going. We need a church where we all have the same desire, the fruit of the Spirit of God grows in our lives, the presence of God goes before us. And can we make an impact on this nation, on this world? You bet we can. This is probably the only way. You can't legislate it by just having a new leader in government. But if grassroots people begin to rise up and say, this is what a man is, and I follow Jesus Christ unapologetically, you'll be amazed at what God can do through us. Father, today, we thank you for the men that are in this auditorium. None of us perfect, all of us working on something. But today, I pray that they would see their value, how badly we need men to stand up. How badly we need fathers to speak into their lives, to get involved in family and home and children. Help us, Father, to do that. I speak blessing on them emotionally. I pray that you would heal them in that area. Touch the brokenhearted. I pray that you'd heal physical bodies. I pray that lies they've been raised with that haunt them, that, Father, the truth of God's word would push it out, and that every man in this place would know they're created in the image and the likeness of God, and that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Let the rest of this year be the best they've ever had. We speak favor, we speak blessing on them in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement in this room shouted amen. 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 So be it, Lord. Give them a hand. We love you guys.